show is on in less than 1 minute.
Fly! Fly, you hear me? Give my creation! Fly!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Get dropped off.
Six, five, four, three, two, one.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hey there. Welcome to the Guy James Show. And I'm going to probably sound like I'm on some kind of speed today, because I am. I'm high on politics today. And I really earnestly believe that sometime within the next few hours, we're going to be saying, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty we're free at last from the bondage and the chains of the Republican Party. I believe that to the core of my soul. I have felt that, as you know, for some weeks now. And today is the day. And I can hardly wait for tonight. I am so excited, I don't know what to say. Normally, I'm not the excitable kind, but I've had it all pent up for months now, as all of you have, and here we are. Here we are at the day of reckoning for the neocon Republicans. The day has finally come when we can free this country from the grasp of these people. And as you well know, I believe and have believed for some time now that we will do this, that it is a done deal. I don't want to sound overconfident, but let me make my prediction right now. I believe that we will end up tonight with at least 331 electoral votes, at maybe 353. That's my prediction. We'll talk about that a little later. I believe we'll end up with 58 senators. I don't think we're going to make the 60, and we're going to gain at least 28 seats in the House. That's what I feel. Strange things could happen tonight. We could see the likes of North Dakota falling. We could see the likes of Montana falling. North Carolina, who knows, still up in the air. We'll talk about all the Electoral College and all that throughout the program today. I hope that you will cooperate today and call in on the program. 866-546-5254. There's an air of excitement. Have you noticed, and I'll bet many of you have, any of you that have acquaintances, I'm not going to say friends. I don't really have any friends that are what I call real Republicans. I really don't. How could someone like me have a real friend who is a real Republican? I know some people that call themselves Republicans, but they're really not. Not in their hearts, they're not. Or else they're too damn stubborn to admit it. But have you noticed the grim faces on them lately? Have you noticed they've been looking kind of glum? Have you noticed they've been talking kind of negative lately? Well, you know, I think we could pull it out, maybe. I think we could, if we get Pennsylvania, we could do it. No, it's not going to happen. Not going to happen. And today is the day of reckoning. From all indications, huge, huge, monstrous turnouts at the polls. That, of course, is always in favor of Democrats. Always. There's never been a time that a huge turnout hasn't favored Democrats. So that's a wonderful thing. We heard the poll yesterday. that yes, there will be long lines, but the poll indicating that 89, I think it was, 89% of Democrats love Barack Obama. I mean, really love him, really like him, and only about 50% of the Republicans really like McCain. Therefore, if it comes to long lines today, guess who's going to stand in the long lines to vote no matter what? And guess who really doesn't give a damn? If they get there and it's a two-hour wait, they'll probably go home because they don't love their candidate the way the Democrats do. So there are many things in our favor today. Many, many things in our favor. I think it's going to come to fruition tonight. If it doesn't, I'm going to look like the biggest dumbass there ever was with my predictions. We're going to find out coming up really early tonight. Indiana, most of Indiana polls close at 6 o'clock. We've got the up in the Hammond area around Chicago doesn't close until 7 o'clock. And then down in southwest Indiana doesn't close to 7 o'clock either. And, of course, Florida's got two. We have two different time zones here in Florida. We close at 7 o'clock, and then the Pensacola area and up in there, the Panhandle, they close at 8 o'clock. So we've got a few time discrepancies to work with, but I do believe that tonight Indiana and Virginia, I've seen some of the other pundits talk about it, Indiana and Virginia. Indiana is going to be one of the first big keys since their polls do close early. They're notorious for getting their votes counted quickly. If that comes in and Barack Obama is very close or even wins Indiana, that's going to be a great sign that a political tsunami is on the way. If he, as expected, takes Virginia, then that tsunami is going to, if he takes Virginia, it's going to be damn tough for McCain, and McCain knows it. Virginia and Pennsylvania, it's over. If Obama gets both of those states, there aren't hardly any scenarios in which McCain can win after that, unless he pulls off some sort of a wild Dewey Truman thing, and that's not going to happen. Back in today, the polls are much more scientific, much more accurate than they were back in the days of Harry Truman and Dewey. I actually think in some polls Truman was down 21%, and old Harry ends up winning the election. So I do want to let you know that tonight, starting about 8 o'clock or so. Bob's going to be taking over for Mark at 5 today, and then around 8 o'clock, I don't know what time Mark is joining him for sure, but I'm going to join him around 8 o'clock, and the three of us are going to be pitching in until it's over tonight. We're going to call it the Horns Election Night Extravaganza, Election Night Madness, call it what you will, but it's going to be great. We're going to have a good time. If you want to hear the facts, nothing but the facts, and maybe a little bit of fun, too, I go right ahead and tune in tonight, because we're all going to be here. We're going to be analyzing and just having a good old time. I personally have a bottle of Ouzo on ice, okay? Anybody familiar with Ouzo? Okay. My wife is Greek, and the Greeks, they like to give each other bottles of Ouzo for gifts, so I must have, 8-10 bottles of Ouzo in the cabinet back home, and I brought one into the studio tonight, got it on ice, and every time a state is called for Obama, I'm going to have a shot, and we'll see how well old guy holds up tonight. Just a way of having some fun, mind you, and calming me down, because I am jacked up. There isn't any doubt about it. I'm ready to rock and roll today, and I know many of you are as well. Well, just a great feeling around the country. All my friends that I've talked to and corresponded with today and last night and yesterday, there's just a feeling of optimism. Just a great feeling of optimism. No, Ray, not one shot for each electoral vote. One shot for every state. Although I have enough Ouzo to have one for each electoral vote, I'll tell you that much. I haven't really had an alcoholic drink in I don't know, 11, 12 years, something like that. And I'm going to do it tonight. I'm going to do it. On a sad note, and it is a sad note, I have to tell you, it brought a tear to my eye last night when I heard the news, and I know to many of you as well. Isn't it odd that somebody we don't even know, Barack Obama's grandmother, I didn't know her, and I know most of you didn't know her either, Madeline Dunham, she died at the age of 86, lost her battle with cancer yesterday morning. And the sad part is, we know that she must have been an extraordinary woman. We do know that. We know that because she raised Barack Obama, and we can see what an extraordinary individual he is. Bright, intelligent, engaging, friendly, great father, great husband, got all the attributes that most men just really strive for. And a great deal of that, of course, has to do with the lady who raised him, Madeline Dunham, and she's passed away at 86. And the shame of it all is, and it is heartbreaking that she didn't live to see her grandson make history today. It's too bad she couldn't have survived to live a dream. A dream not only of hers, but of ours as well, so many of us. A dream where a nation finally came of age, and for the most part cast aside racism and bigotry and did the right thing. But our hearts and prayers go out to Barack Obama. It's a very, very sad time for him. His victory tonight is going to be tempered by the sadness over the death of his grandmother. But I guess I could speak on behalf of a grateful nation for a woman who did yeoman's duty in raising a very, very fine grandson. So, God rest your soul, Madeline Dunham, dead at 86. 866-546-5254 if you'd like to join the program today, and I certainly hope you will. I've invited the folks on the chat room, and those of you listening on iTunes and all that, head on over to the Head On Radio Network chat room. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com and get on the chat room. It only takes you a minute to sign up. They don't want your blood. They don't want your money. Just sign up. Get in the chat room. Join us. Have a great group in there. I see Corey Stone's in there today. Bedtime for Bonzo. Angry Architect. Agnes, of course. Agnes holding down the fort today. somebody calling themselves Miss Wasilla of 84. Ray is there, of course. And Spike East and Letter J, just so many of our friends are there a lot, and we love the chat room. I have it on during the show. I don't always get to go back and forth with the folks in the chat room the way I'd like to during the program, because we're quite busy here. But I see everything you guys put up there. You're not getting anything over on me, so keep that in mind. yes. It's quite a day, because I was thinking, and I hear them talk about Ronald Reagan all the time. You know, they continue to talk. Sarah Palin in particular talks about Ronald Reagan so very much. And I know what you're thinking. Ronald Reagan died, well, what was it? Almost 4 years ago, three years ago? Three and a half, maybe. I'm not sure. I'm not good on dates like that. But the Reagan Revolution, which, for my mind, was an era of nothing but incompetence and greed and political corruption, is about to go underwater and drown, and we will be rid of the Reagan Revolution when this administration is out of office. And that's one thing I fuss so much about today, that I forget how many days it is. It isn't all that many. The junior has got to go yet, and we will be rid, thank God, we will be rid of these people with this Reagan Revolution, which has led to so much, it's led to almost the death of the middle class, and the poor has taken a terrible beating. And the Reagan Revolution, as we know, it's going to be dead. And it's because, well, most of it's because of the Reagan Revolution and what it was. It was an effort to take over the government and take over the wealth of the United States, and they achieved that. I give them credit for setting out to do something and accomplishing their goal. They did it, but it's just the fact that their goals were so damn sinister and terrible for this nation. And I think so many people have finally understood that their goals were at best terrible for the United States. And that's one thing that's happening today. People are getting thrown out of Washington on their ears, Republican congressmen and senators and Republican administration and Palin and McCain, because people have finally understood what the Reagan Revolution was all about, and it certainly was never, ever good for the people of the United States. It took a long time for middle-class Americans to understand that. They were fooled for a long time. They were fooled into voting against their own interest for years and years and years, but it finally caught up. And what an unusual election this has been. First of all, you know, the chance of the first female getting in to be vice president was real for a long, long time. Not a long, long time, really, just until she was found out. Oh, until she was found out. Then we had this ignorant asshole, Joe the Plumber. And forgive me, I'm just going to let it all hang out today. I'm just going to say what I feel. Where else but in America could a guy like Joe the Plumber get all this attention that he's gotten by the media? He was on Cavuto. He was on Neil Cavuto's show yesterday, questioning Obama's loyalty to the country. That's right, a clown plumber. Nothing wrong with being a plumber. I'd like to have the income of a lot of these plumbers myself as a perfectly honorable profession. But it appears this guy is not really a licensed plumber, and he really wasn't a small businessman. He really wasn't intending on buying a small business. He was just put in there as a plant or whatever, just a smartass. That's all he ever was. He certainly got mileage out of it, but I don't think the McCain campaign ever did. But here they are. You know, it should be obvious to everybody by now that this guy doesn't have the intellect of a fifth grader. And here he is on national TV imparting his wisdom to millions of people as if it were gospel, questioning the loyalty to this country of Barack Obama. And even Cavuto, Neil Big Head Cavuto, was taken aback by it. He was shocked that this jerk said that. So, Palin and McCain and Joe the Plumber and Joe Lieberman and Lindsey Graham, get the hell out of my life and stay out of it. I don't care if I ever see another one of you again, and especially, I don't want to ever see Sarah Palin again. I don't know what it is. Forgive me if I get carried away about this woman. But there has never been anybody in the political arena that has so offended me as this gal, Sarah Palin. I don't know what it is about her. I don't know if it's just her voice. I don't know if it's just her facial expressions, which are weird to say the least. I don't know if it's her insulting attitude, but she has been a burr under my saddle ever since she ever since she was picked. I said she would bury John McCain, and she has. I have to wonder if he had taken Tom Ridge or what's his name from Massachusetts. If he'd have taken either one of them, I have to think he'd had a much better chance of gaining the presidency than he did taking this Sarah Palin. Whoever, and I've heard that Bill Kristol was heavily involved, and Fred Barnes was heavily involved, and some other the hardcore right wingers were heavily involved in getting her picked for that job. But it was a terrible mistake for her to be running for vice president. Did you see her interview today after she voted? Man, she was starting her 2012 campaign right then and there. Her handlers tried to get her to shut up, and she wouldn't, and she just kept on going. That Saturday night live spoof the other night, I think that said it all, the T-shirt deal with her. I think that said it all. I think it was very accurate. This woman, she's going to try and get somewhere, but, God, I hope America's smart enough not to go that route. Let's head on over to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. This is Jennifer, and Bremerton, Washington.
Well, hi, Jennifer. How are you?
I am not doing badly for an old woman. I just have to tell you the wonderful news.
Yes, let's hear it.
We all vote absentee in my county, but I wasn't about to trust the mail this time. So I carried my ballot over today.
Good
and
for you.
And I was just delighted to see an incredible flow of people. I sat for a while in my car watching people go in and out, all of them carrying their ballots in. You know, it was just unprecedented. The turnout was phenomenal.
Isn't it a wonderful thing to watch?
It
really is.
It really did my heart good.
And Obama's got a nice lead in Washington, somewhere around, 12 points or so.
We're pretty true blue here in this state.
Well, you are.
Yes.
But
I want to also thank you, just for being as wonderful as you are, but I thought the things you said about Obama's grandma were so beautiful. And it was exactly how I've been feeling, but you put it into words for me.
Well, thank you.
That was so nice.
Thank you. I am so sad that she didn't get to see this.
I said the very same thing yesterday. I feel so badly because she put so much into that happening. And, you know, the thing about it is, even if Obama were not to win this election, and I'm sure he will, but even if he didn't, this man has accomplished something that's very near and dear to me because I was there in the 60s and in the 70s when we were marching for equal rights. I was in the thick of it. And so it's been a very important thing for me. And, I mean, just 2 years ago, people would have said it's impossible for a black man to run for president. Impossible.
Exactly right.
He has accomplished something that makes my heart swell with pride. I'm very proud of him. I'm proud of his campaign. I'm proud of what we accomplished as Americans. And for the first time in a long time, since George Bush took office, I feel good about Americans. I feel so happy.
Oh, I share your glee. I do. Do you know, I was looking back through some old notes today and some old the history of the campaigns and so forth, that back in 2006, 2 years ago, Survey USA, who does a lot of polling in this country, made out an electoral map which pitted Barack Obama against John McCain 2 years ago because it was... although they thought Hillary would probably win it, Barack was a possibility. And 2 years ago, they made up an electoral map, and they gave on that electoral map Barack Obama the District of Columbia, Hawaii, and Illinois, and the rest of the states to John McCain.
Wow.
Imagine that. This has exceeded anybody's expectations. And let me tell you something. I heard from a friend this morning, Glenn, and I want to repeat something that he said. Mentioning what you said about being there in the civil rights movement and all. A story from Glenn. He said, and I have a wonderful image from my small precinct to share. A young African-American mother came to vote with her three young daughters. We have those partially enclosed plastic booths, and when she went to mark her vote, I can barely say this, she told the girls, come touch my hand and be a part of this. It's something you're going to remember for the rest of your lives, she said to her children.
Wonderful.
Isn't it?
Yes. And I also want to tell you, I totally agree with you about Sarah Barracuda. There is something about that woman. I cannot look at her. I cannot listen to her talk. She has an aura of total... She's just an evil woman.
Yeah, I agree. She's vicious. She's absolutely vicious and does it with a smile.
I don't even want to share the same planet with that type of person.
No, I don't either.
To have her in my face, I mean, I have to turn the TV off when she comes on because I find her, like you said, very offensive.
Yep.
She stands for everything that you and I and your listeners detest in the world.
I couldn't agree more. I she was talking last night. I was watching one of the political shows, and she came on and was speaking, and I said something, and my wife was in the room, and I said, and my wife said, she really gets to you, doesn't she? And I said, you have no idea how offensive that person is to me.
I know. It's like my spine gets stiff and my nostrils flare when I see that woman. It's like,
I think I start to snarl.
Let me out of here.
Yeah.
You know, and I've always felt that way about her right from the very beginning.
Absolutely.
And I'm not a woman that hates women.
No, I mean, you don't have to be. There's some many wonderful women that could have had that job. I could have run on there. I mean, smart, intelligent, all that. And he's that's one of the great political mysteries of our lifetime, her ending up where she did.
I get the feeling that Grampy McCrazy wasn't that fond of the idea, but he was pressured into it.
I think you're right.
You know, I think they really thought they were going to get all the Hillary voters. This woman is no Hillary.
No, and their predictions about that. You know, they were so wrong, and many Democrats were wrong. When it was over with between her and Barack, they thought that, you know, this Puma movement and all that. I know. A lot of the women were really, really upset, and that's fine. I understand that. But I knew that most of them would come home, and they have. And the Republicans counted on them to swing over there, and it just didn't happen, except for a handful. So their reasoning for that, if they did it for that reason, they made a terrible mistake.
You know, I was one of the first women's libbers in the 70s. Oh, my God. It was one of my causes. And then one day somebody said something to me that really made sense. He said to me, women do not have to organize to get their rights. All they have to do is learn to stand up for themselves.
Yep.
And I thought, you know, that really makes sense. And at that time, I was working for a man who literally chased me around the deck. And I needed my job because I was a single mom.
Mm-hmm.
But one day, I took that man's advice, and I stood up, and I said, I just held my hand up, and I said, stop this. Stop this right now. And he never bothered me again.
Yeah.
Because I truly meant it.
Sure.
And so I really think we're all responsible for our own liberation. But that doesn't mean that we don't need legislation and that sort of thing. I don't take it that far. But we do have a responsibility. And I've been sexually harassed by men in other places and fairly recently. And this one young man used to harass me, and I said to him, I don't mean to be threatening, but there are laws against what you are doing. And he never bothered me again.
Sure.
So you see, you know, it's a matter of us really taking ownership of our own liberation as well as proper legislation and, you know, support. But I have strayed from my point, you know. I love to babble.
Well, no, I find it interesting what you say. You know, we men are pigs, and we admit it, but... A lot of guys may make a really bad name for us by doing things like that, and you're right about standing up for yourself. And there are many, many very, very strong women that could have stood up to the political pressures and all that of a political campaign like we've had, and done a good job of it. But this one just turned into a mean pit bull.
Yeah.
With lipstick, and I'm sorry that she entered the national political scene, and I know John McCain is sorry
but
she
please
entered.
Please take the pit bull part back, because I have a pit bull, and she's the sweetest little thing on earth.
Well, I had a neighbor had a pit bull, and it wasn't the sweetest thing on earth, but it's all, I guess they take the personalities of their owners, huh? Yours must have taken your personality.
My pit bull is adorable. But, you know, I can sort of understand women who wanted a woman to run for president.
Sure.
It's all fine and dandy. I'm not opposed to it one bit. But I'm more concerned about a Democrat winning this election. I don't care what their gender is. I don't care if they're hermaphrodite.
Yeah.
I just want a Democrat in the office of president, one who will listen to us, one who is concerned about the welfare of this country. And I think Obama is the man. And, you know, I did not intend to vote for him.
Well, I intended to vote whoever our candidate was. I was originally for Hillary. Everybody knows that listens to me. But it didn't take me any time at all when Hillary conceded that. I'm with you, man. And I, like many people, have realized and have always known since the very beginning that this is an exceptional man. This is a very, very exceptional man, and I think the country is going to find out that in a good way.
Yeah. Well, I was a big Kucinich person right from the get-go.
Well, you got to love Dennis.
Devastated when Kucinich was pretty much pushed out.
Oh, yeah.
And it took me a long time to get over it, and I was bound and determined I was going to vote for the Green candidate, Cynthia McKinney. I really like her. But, you know, I watched the debate, and when I saw McCain is the one that made me vote for Obama. McCain did it.
Well,
Cynthia lost my vote when McCain said, that one.
Yeah, that one.
Something snapped in me.
Wasn't that something?
And I said, I cannot let this man, I can't risk this man winning this election. I must vote for Obama. So that was the second debate, and that's when I made my decision. Up until then, I was not going to vote for Obama. But I don't think I'm going to be sorry.
I don't think anybody's going to be sorry. I am eagerly anticipating January the 20th. I think the man will be a dynamic leader if given a chance, and I believe he will be given a chance. It's going to be good to have a Democratic Congress, and we need to make sure Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi keep their feet to the fire, and I think we'll be on the road. I think we'll be on the road to recovery. I really do.
I kind of would like to see them replaced, by the way. I wrote Nancy Pelosi a scathing letter yesterday. And I told her she was complicit in the death and destruction that has taken place in this administration, and she has blood on her hands.
Well, she has not been the leader I had hoped she would be.
I'm very disappointed in her.
I told her that.
I really expected a lot more from her.
Well, maybe now. Who knows?
I hope. Anyway, I know you probably have other callers waiting.
Well, thanks for calling. It's good to hear from you, and good for you and the whole state of Washington doing a good job. You're gonna get a new governor as well. If I got that mixed up?
I hope we don't have a new governor.
It's not the governor. Who am I talking about?
We do have a governor's race, and it's a close one. We have Dino Rossi running against the incumbent, Christine Gregoire.
Yeah.
And Christine's been a very good governor.
She won in such a close election the last time around. You folks really had it out over that thing.
I was involved in the recount. It was very close.
That was quite the recount.
Yeah.
Sure was.
So I'm hoping that Christine will stay in office because I think she's done a good job. Actually, I think this state has been pretty, what's the word I want to say? We have not experience the terrible devastation financially that some states have. And I think that's because our governor did a good job protecting us from it.
Well, I'm glad for that. Where I live, I can't say the same thing. Kind of tough. Well, listen, thanks for calling. It's good to hear from you. And once again, congratulations to the folks a little early in Washington for doing the right thing and casting their electoral votes for Barack Obama, because that's the way it's going to be.
Always a pleasure to talk to you guys.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I'm going to be celebrating with you.
Oh, yes. Bye now.
Bye.
Yes. How are you going to celebrate tonight? What's it going to be? Peanuts, popcorn, and Cracker Jacks, and a bottle of pop, or a little bit of champagne, or in my case, I'm going to have the ouzo out here. Yeah. Yes, Johnny O, I agree with you. I agree with you on the chat room. I most certainly do. 866-546-5254. That's 866-546-5254. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes or two.
You don't clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are a bit exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Fact is, high blood pressure contributes to 200,000 American deaths each year, and a third of those who have high blood pressure don't know it. If they did, it'd be simple to treat. Call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA1 or visit AmericanHeart.org on the web to learn more. Better still, ask your doctor to check your blood pressure.
If you run with those scissors,
it's the least you can do.
Welcome back to the Guy James Show. The times are a-changing. Yes, they are. We're going to have a big change tonight, a big change, starting about 6 o'clock tonight. Indiana polls close at 6 o'clock. A few in Indiana, up around Hammond, the Chicago area, where they expect a very heavy vote for Barack Obama. We may not be able to call Indiana that early. Not until after 7. They are notorious for counting their votes very quickly. But that that little section up by Hammond, which is very close to Chicago, is very, very important as to whether or not Barack Obama wins Indiana. I tell you what, if he wins Indiana, game on, baby. Indiana and Virginia starting off. I think we've seen the McCain campaign put their pollsters out front and do all that these past few days and put on a good face and all. But from what I hear behind the scenes, people inside the campaigns that I have known for a long, long time tell me that the attitude is ominous. And I did see some evidence of that last night. Did you see the pictures on TV last night they were showing going around the nation and getting pictures of McCain campaign headquarters in various places? They were empty. They were empty. There was a pall come over the place. There's no doubt about it. And they're anticipating defeat. There isn't any doubt in my mind. I don't know how they could be alive and hear all that's been out there, read all the polls, a composite of all the polls, even their own inside polling information, and understand they had to pull off another, 6 or 7% in Pennsylvania in one day in order to win this election at all. And they know you cannot do that. You cannot do that. It'd be different if there was one poll showing Obama up by a good margin in Pennsylvania, but almost all of the polls showed him, except McCain's internal poll. And even Karl Rove, even Karl Rove has Pennsylvania maybe gone by as much as 10% to Obama. Karl Rove. And by the way, Rove has Nevada, Colorado, New Mexico, Ohio, Virginia, and Florida, and Pennsylvania, all going to Barack Obama. Minnesota, Iowa, Wisconsin, and Michigan, all by wide margins. Of course, California by a huge margin, and Washington and Oregon by very big margin. New York by 27%. But Barack Obama is up, according to Karl Rove, by 7% in Virginia. So, Indiana, Virginia, when those come in, I'm going to stick with my 338. I think he's going to end up with 338 votes, electoral votes. Possibly throwing North Carolina into that would make it 353, but I'm going to stick with 338. I think that's right where he might be. Some of the surprises might be a little bit later on. If this tide gets rolling, and if we do take Indiana, we might see the likes of North Dakota and Montana swinging. And damn, wouldn't it be sweet to see Arizona go along as well, and Missouri. So this could be a huge victory. I don't think it's going to be a close victory by any stretch. I don't think it's going to be close at all. But the question is, the only question is in my mind, and do I sound too optimistic? Do I sound too, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think we're looking good. I really do think we're looking good. My brother, I spoke to my brother this morning, and he lives in Maricopa, not Maricopa County. He lives in Pinal County, which is where it's confusing. Phoenix is in Maricopa County, where they have that asshole sheriff, Sheriff Joe Opaya, whatever his name is. And just south of Phoenix is a county called Pinal, and that's where the town of Maricopa is. Anyway, my brother lives there, and he was reporting to me that first thing this morning that my sister-in-law stopped in to vote and called him and said the tabulating machine was broken. He thought, well, by the time I get there, it'll be fixed. He got there, and it had been fixed, and then it broke again while he was there. So they were having quite a bit of bad luck this morning, or whatever you want to call it, in Arizona. We're hearing reports all over the place. A relative from Ohio of mine reports that two voting machines were out of order at his polling place this morning, causing a long line and a big, long delay. So, and I spoke to a friend of mine, Mike, and Mike's listening, and thanks, Mike, for reporting in today. Now, from over at Miramar, Florida, that's a suburb of kind of Fort Lauderdale, Miami area, and he said they had very long lines, but things were going very smoothly, and he's going to keep in touch all day long. And, of course, we've heard from friends in Virginia that turnout in Virginia is absolutely off the charts, and once again, you know who that favors. So it's coming along nicely, coming along very, very nicely, and in conjunction with what we were talking about earlier about Barack's grandmother. What a doggone shame that she didn't live to one more day, two more days, to see that Barack Obama elected president. But I think she knew in her heart when she passed on that she knew that her grandson was going to be president of the United States. I just wish she would live to see it. But put yourself in other people's shoes. Put yourself in minority people's shoes today and tonight and tomorrow if you can. I mean, we can't really, but those of you who are not minorities, those of you that just regular old white Anglo people like myself, can you imagine? Can you imagine? I'm just filled with joy when I think about it. I truly am. Imagine what Martin Luther King would have been thinking today. Can we even imagine what Martin Luther King would have been thinking today? And the thing is, an Obama victory today is not going to end racism in this country. Not at all. I have no such illusions. In fact, it might heighten it with these radical skinhead neo-Nazi types. And that is a great fear I have. But it will go a long way toward changing many people's attitudes and expectations in this country. And personally, it's going to make me very, very proud of my country. The same as I will feel someday when we have our first female president. That'll be a great day for America as well. And I've been saying for a long, long time now, that back when Barack and Hillary were battling it out, should either of them have been the victor, what a proud day it would be for America to have the first female or the first African-American as president. It will show that our country has matured, or is at least well on the way toward maturity, and I love that. It just makes me feel great. It does. It really does. I can't tell you how joyful I am over that. I just can't. What are you going to be grateful for when this election is over? Now, I know I hear a chorus already say, I'm just going to be grateful that it's over. I'm going to be grateful that we don't have to talk about it anymore for a while. Of course, there's going to be a lot to talk about. You know that somewhere in the bowels of some of the buildings in Washington, D.C. and other places around the country, there are people plotting and planning right now to make Barack Obama's term as president as rough as possible to see how that they can wrest power away from the Democrats party, planning for the next election. Will it be Sarah, or will it be Mitt Romney, or who will it be? What's his name from Arkansas? I don't know. But you know there's planning going on, and you know that the Republicans are going to be getting together around the country. The neocons are going to be flushed out for a while. And the old-fashioned Republicans, I think, maybe will be successful in wresting control from the fringe elements, the rove types, those type of people, from the Palin-type people and all. She's going to have to depend, in my opinion, she's going to have to depend upon the evangelicals and the fringe of the Republican Party to, I don't know, to keep any kind of good stead that she has within the power, within the party at all. Because she will never, ever be popular with the mainstream in either party. She's not a mainstream person. So I think the idea that she's going to be a viable candidate come the next election, I really think that's silly. I do. She cost John McCain a chance at the presidency. And the Republicans will not be forgiving of that. Not the mainline Republicans, at least. I can't see them being forgiving of that at all. But going back to my point, what will you be grateful for after the election besides the fact that it's 24/7 election coverage for practically 2 years? I'll be grateful for that. I am going to be very grateful not to see John McCain saying, "my friends," 711 times every day. And I'm going to be extremely happy if I never, ever see Sarah Palin again. I don't know that I've ever felt such loathing for a political candidate as I have for her. Oh, God, please go away, Sarah Palin. I'm going to be grateful to hear Limbaugh and Hannity whining, and they will. Oh, they will. The Fox people are going to be in a snit for a while, and that's going to be fun to watch. yes, that's going to be a lot of fun to watch, and I will try and see. I like the my enemies. Now, I'm this kind of a guy. I am this kind of a guy. You want me to tell you just exactly how I am? When I consider somebody an enemy, not just somebody I don't like, but an enemy, a real enemy, when they suffer, I like it. That's right. I don't say, oh, I actually heard a Democratic fan friend the other day saying, oh, I kind of feel sorry for John McCain, you know. I feel sorry for him. I don't. If he'd have run a decent campaign, if he'd have run an honorable campaign, if he would have run a campaign that an honorable man should run, then I might feel a little bit of compassion for him. But I don't. In light of the kind of campaign that he has run, that he is responsible for. He can talk about his handlers. He can talk about the 527s. He can talk about that all he wants to. Ultimately, he is responsible for his campaign, just as Barack Obama is responsible for his campaign. Yes, you're going to have some crazies going off once in a while and saying something you don't like. But when you are the candidate, you basically have control. You basically have control of your campaign, and you can say what is and what isn't. So, I will not feel sorry for John McCain, not one bit. He will reap what he has sown. And I am not sorry. So, that's what I'm going to be grateful for when this whole thing is over with. And I, too, am going to be wanting to back off for a little bit. I plan on going to the inauguration. I've been invited to the inauguration, although the official invitations haven't gone out yet, but unofficially we've been invited to go and do a show that from there. And, you know, the Take Back America conference and things like that, where we can get back into issues and not have to talk about a campaign every single day. That'll be, for me, a good thing. It's been fun. Talking about it, it's been fun learning about it, gaining knowledge about political life in the United States. I always enjoy any type of thing where we can gain knowledge, and we've gained knowledge about the psyche of the American people. And we've learned more about the process, the political process. We've learned some things that maybe should be done about the political process in this country. I think if we've learned nothing else, we should have learned that the money involved is obscene and that we do need some significant reform, if not total reform, of the political process in this country. We should see that the next campaign shouldn't start to January the 21st of 2009. We've got to get it back to being real again. I don't like 20 or 24-month campaigns. That's what it's turning into. I want my new president. I want my new senators and congressmen in this country. I want them to go to Washington and be able to concentrate on working for the American people. That's what I want them to go for, not to have to worry about speaking to lobbyists every day for campaign contributions and fat cats for campaign contributions and be raising money every single day of their tenure on Capitol Hill and in the White House. I think we can all agree that that is a reform, a much-needed reform we need in this country, and I hope the American people realize it and will push for it. I know that's going to be an emphasis I have when I talk and speak and get with and cajole people that I speak to and members of the House and Senate. Not that I'm all that influential, but that's going to be something that I think needs major reform. I am so tired of the money thing. I really am. So we learn. We also learn that maybe our electoral college system needs an overhaul. We have talked about the fact that maybe Barack Obama could win this election by 5 or 6 million votes and possibly lose the election. And that would be, if you lost a few of these close states very, very closely, that could have happened at any time throughout our history. But that's just wrong. That's just plain wrong that could happen. So we have much to be done. We have an economy that is sick, very sick, on life support. And our president's going to have to turn immediate attention to that. We have two wars brewing that are not going well, despite what anybody says. The fact that they're still going is proof enough that they're not going well. If they'd gone well, they'd both be over with by now, and we'd have our troops back home, and we wouldn't have more people dying. So say what they will about the surge and this and that, about how things are going well in Iraq and Afghanistan. If they were really going well, we wouldn't be there after all this time. I don't think anybody can argue with that. We've got a lot to talk about in the second hour. We'll probably get into some polling in the second hour. We would like it very much if you have any exit poll information, if you can call into the program or maybe email us. We'd love to have your exit poll information. That's fodder for the show today, exit polling, although they've proven to be not the most accurate measure we could use. They've certainly been wrong a few times in the last couple of elections. 866-546-5254 when we come back from the news at the top of the hour. 866-546-5254. Where am I at here? I'm looking for what I'm supposed to be doing technically here in the studio today. I see Dixville Notch in New Hampshire. It was a landslide for Obama there last night, 15-6, and Hart's location, New Hampshire, Obama 17 and McCain 10, and Ron Paul got 2. So far the running total last night after Dixville Notch and Hart's location, New Hampshire, always the first two to vote, 32-16, and Ron Paul with 2. So 2-1, Obama over McCain. Let's just keep that up as a percentage across the country. That would be a great thing. And once again, I do want to bring up the fact that Survey USA, I found an old map, electoral map they made that pitted Obama against McCain in 2006. They made up this map. It should it come down to Obama against McCain, they gave McCain every state except Hawaii and Illinois and then the District of Columbia. So the times, they are a-changing. They definitely are a-changing. And we're going to pause for news coming up in just a moment or so. We've got calls coming in, but we're up against the news at the top of the hour here, so we're going to wait until after the news is over, of course, to take them. It's 3:59:20 Eastern Time. Those of you listening on the Internet hear this about 20 seconds later than my actual time here. So keep that in mind always when you're listening. There's about a 20-second delay on the stream going out over the Internet. So we're going to pause for news right now. We're going to be back. You're going to be back, and we're going to have a good old time this next hour. You listen to the Guy James Show and the Head On Radio Network. We're with you all evening long here on the Head On Radio Network.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. Working America is working Ohio to mobilize working people on Election Day. The group's Ohio coordinator, Dan Heck, says across Ohio, people are worried about the economy.
Everybody's talking about the economy. It's definitely the top issue. A lot of people are also really concerned about getting decent health care coverage and are really disturbed by McCain's plan to tax health care benefits and leave people on their own to try to fend for themselves against insurance companies.
Heck says Working America's election effort in Ohio is vibrant, and the union effort combined with it makes it superior to the Republican ground game.
Both the scale of what we're doing, but also the professionalism of what we're doing, and how excited our members are to be out there doing the work and getting people out to vote.
On Sunday, Boeing factories are expected to start up again now that striking machinists are back on the job. The machinist strike, which started September 6th, ended over the weekend when members voted to accept a tentative agreement. The union says the new contract gives Boeing workers a chance to share in the extraordinary success achieved at the company in recent years. As voters go to the polls across the country to elect a new president, millions will cast votes in California to determine the fate of constitutionally protected same-sex marriage. Jesse Russell reports.
Californians aren't the only ones to have a same-sex marriage proposition or amendment on their ballots this election day, but they are the only state to consider banning same-sex marriage where the practice is already protected by the state constitution. If Proposition 8 passes, it will write into the Constitution, only marriage between a man and a woman is valid or recognized in California. Supporters of Proposition 8 argue that it is intended to protect core values of traditional marriage. In terms of funding, the California Teachers Association is one of the leading opponents to Proposition 8, putting more than $1.3 million into the campaign. CTA President David Sanchez told the LA Times in October that the association takes issue with an ad campaign that suggests, without Proposition 8, gay marriage will be taught in schools. Sanchez said it's misleading because California law prohibits such lessons without parental consent. Also opposing Prop 8 is Christine Chavez, daughter of United Farm Workers founder Cesar Chavez. During an October speech, she said the fight for gay marriage rights is parallel to the fight for labor rights.
So for anyone who has ever walked a picket line in support of a janitor or a hotel worker or marched an immigrant rights march or for an environmental cause, we are not asking you to stand with the thousands of others and demand equality for our LGBT brothers.
WIN's Labor News is now available right on your cell phone. Just dial 425-527-7001. Get your WIN Labor News on your cell phone at 425-527-7001. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Here's the guy changing the way you hear music, Billy Shears.
Sounds every Saturday night, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. You'll hear the latest in new music releases, special segments like One Hit Wonders, Under the Covers, and Night Sounds dedications with the sassy and classy Erica Richards. For requests and dedications, direct your email to nightsounds@billyshearsmusic.com. So tune in and stop by the chat room this Saturday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Thanks for lending an ear.
Throw the second switch! Throw the third switch!
Not the third switch!
Throw it, I say! Throw it!
The Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Fly! Fly, you hear me? Give my creation! Fly!
This was fun.
Here you go. Now act this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hey, welcome back to the Guy James Show. I'm in rare mood today. Yes, rarefied air as far as being optimistic. I love it. I'm always one of those guys that the cup is half empty today. It's almost full today. That's the way I feel. Barring election fraud of the highest order, and I see the Republicans are preparing everybody for that, since they're losing. They don't know what election fraud is, do they? Paul Krugman writes, the Republican base already seems to be gearing up to regard defeat not as a verdict on conservative policies, but as a result of an evil conspiracy. A recent Democracy Corps poll found that Republicans, by a margin, get this, Republicans by a margin of more than 2-1, believe that Mr. McCain is losing because the mainstream media is biased, rather than because Americans are tired of George Bush. And Mr. McCain has laid the groundwork for feverish claims that the election was stolen, declaring that the community activist group ACORN, which is factcheck.org points out, has never been found guilty of or even charged with causing fraudulent votes to be cast, is now on the verge of maybe perpetrating one of the greatest frauds in voter history in this country, maybe destroying the fabric of democracy. Because at this point, with the polls saying what they are, one thing is abundantly clear. Not all Republican skullduggery in the world, not all that they could do, they're not going to be able to pull this one out for McCain. And the only thing that would is if Palin's real Americans vote their racism in bigger swaths of this country than I think even exist. So there. Hey, let's head onward to the phone. 866-546-5254, by the way. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show. Thanks for waiting.
Hey, Guy, it's Kevin from Brooklyn.
Hi, Kevin.
Well, you know I was going to call today.
Yeah, you're going to call and get again and tell me to pipe down and to shut up and not be so optimistic. Are you going to do that again today?
No.
Okay. I had to say that.
Yeah, well, you know, still, anything can happen.
I know.
But I think this time, I think the death knell has pretty much come, regardless of what happens tonight. The conservative movement, as we know, is gone. It's dead.
I think you're right.
It is.
I think you're right.
It really is. They know, you know, it can only go on for so much, and I'm confident Barack will get it. What I've been warning to everyone, and if you heard me yesterday on Bob's show, I said, I think part of the reason why they're still campaigning so hard saying all this stuff is to save Congress.
Yeah.
If they can at least get a filibusterable Congress.
Right.
Because, you know, pretty much looking back, McCain threw this away from the convention when he wanted to, you know, delay the convention, whatever he was going to do, postpone the convention.
That's when his erratic behavior for the campaign really began, I think.
Yeah, and pretty much looking back, and, you know, hindsight being 2020, that's when he threw it all away, and he said, I lost them.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's just been like one act after another of total illogical. From putting in Palin on the ballot to every, you know.
Yeah, you're right. And then he starts his coal campaign yesterday. Well, yeah. Where did that come from?
Well, he was hoping to get the southern counties of Ohio, West Virginia, those southwestern counties of Pennsylvania, which pretty much is Appalachia, which is, you know, very, let's say, traditional or, lack of a better term, racist. And, you know, he was trying to get that vote, but, you know, I'm looking back, you know, this has been almost 30 years of racist hate politics. You know, Reagan ran on the welfare mom driving around in the Cadillac, which meant, which was code for a promiscuous woman of color who,
yes,
you know, is living off of the government. And
yeah, I was in the grocery store, and that woman ahead of me, she had seven kids, and she paid for $500 worth of grocery stamp and food stamps, and I followed her out to the parking lot, and she got into a brand new Buick Electra 225. You don't know how many times I heard that story.
Yeah, and it's politics of fear and hate. And you know what? Even if she was, it's nothing compared to the welfare we gave those guys on Wall Street.
Boy, you know, you got that right.
Even if it was true, it's nothing compared to what those guys on Wall Street got. So, you know, and I even have to, because I, you know, the black community, mainstream black America is very conservative, probably more conservative than I am. And I tell them this, and it's like when I say, what about Wall Street? It's like everybody goes to a complete blank.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, you mean to tell me you'll get upset, and it all goes down to the criminal that you see and the criminal you don't. That's what it all boils down to. You see the welfare moms driving around the Cadillac, if they're out there, exist. I never saw any, but I guess it's the criminal we're more likely to see. You know, what's his name? Former
Greenspan.
Greenspan and the new guy.
Yeah, Paulson.
Those are criminals that we're never going to see. They don't hang in our circles. So I guess that's the thing.
Well, that's why I have, as you know, mentioned that I think the number one responsibility right off the get-go for in the transition, get yourself a one mean-ass attorney general and turn him loose on Wall Street.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get on with it on that. The American people should have an accounting of that and where that money went, and we've got hosed good on that deal. I think everybody knows it.
Oh, yeah. And who I would like to see for the federal chairman is Dr. Ravi Batra.
Oh, for Federal Reserve chairman?
Yeah, I would love to see him become. That would not only be a smack in the face to Greenspan, but to the whole, for the Money Foundation, the whole conservative movement.
Exactly right. For the whole Wall Street community, we're not going to have one of your leaders in there now. We're going to have somebody that cares more about America than he does about the $100 cigars on Wall Street. That's exactly would be the message there.
Oh, yeah. You know, and it's like I'm starting to feel better. You know, I was discussing this with my mother earlier today, and I said, you know, it's amazing. Like, all people want in this world, and this is the common denominator. People just want to, you know, they're not looking for power. They're not looking to control the universe. They just want to live decently, provide for their loved ones. That's all they want.
That's exactly right.
And, you know, most people are good. They're not bad. No one is out to get you. You know, and this is the politics of bigotry and fear that's been imposed on mainstream America for the past 30 years. And thank God today is death.
When, you know, to lay your head down on your pillow at night and know you've done your best for your family and your friends and done your responsibilities for your country, isn't that enough?
Yes.
It is enough to live a decent life, to have the basic necessities and maybe a vacation once in a while. It's enough.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking socialism here. I'm just talking about a decent standard living for everybody that's willing to put forth the effort to get it. And sadly, are there far too many people in this country that have put forth a great effort and have been smacked in the face by this economy with their real estate and their jobs and their insurance and all that lately. And it's
bottom just fell out of everything, because it's not even a poker game, because at least poker have rules. It's been more three card Monty.
Absolutely. And do you know anybody? I do. Do you know anybody that's teetering on the edge?
No, not really. Not at least in the, you know, I know of them, but I don't know anyone that.
I do. I know several people that are on the edge.
Well, the thing is, most of the people that I associate with, their careers were in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And even though New York has suffered a lot, there's still an underlying sense of social justice. You know, the New Deal had its roots in New York politics. So as a state traditionally,
sure,
you know, there is a sense of social justice, even in the most right-wing regimes that New York has had. And we, you know, had a Republican governor and a Republican mayor up until recently. They can only go so far with a lot of things.
Right, right.
You know, and this is what kind of, you know, because as you know, and I think I've shared this, I am writing a manuscript called Coming of Age in the Neocon Era. This is what threw me for a loop when I lived in Florida and other states of the meanness that, you know, of the meanness that exists. You know, the sense of, you know, I was just, because I was from out of state, because I was from a different color, because I was from up north, you know, I was viewed as a threat.
Right.
And it's just the paranoia and meanness, and it just wears you down, you know. It really does. And hopefully that can change. Or hopefully, you know, this election can change that viewpoint.
You know what I, you know what, one of the things I'm hoping for, and I hope that, I hope that a lot of people on the left won't be disappointed, in as much as people on the far left maybe are going to be expecting Barack Obama to head out to the far left and be out there. I think he's going to be more of a centrist person.
Well, he has to be, because
yes.
It has to be evolution. It can't be revolution.
That's exactly right. And therefore, people on the fringes of both sides are going to have to understand that here's a man that is willing to genuinely, not for political reasons, but for the good of the country, to work with both sides and try and actually get something done instead of just be fighting all the time. And so there are going to be people complain about that. I know that, because he is pretty much a centrist. But he's got the ideas in mind that I think are good for the country, that are good for me, good for my family, and all families. So,
oh, yeah.
I hope we don't start hearing that business of, he's not doing everything we want on the left, or, you know, I give the guy a chance. That's what I want.
Yeah, and, you know, the one thing that concerns me, okay, and this is where I think I may alienate even a lot of people on the left, is, okay, not only as an African-American or that I'm proud that he's become, but as a person whose ancestry came from the third world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because more than an American, I consider myself a global citizen. And to know someone whose father came from Kenya.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it wasn't even, you know, my family comes from another former British colony, Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that common third world, and to see him come from. Now, what concerns me is that, like, as a person who is a product of the third world and know what third world politics is all about, and who had to go through those struggles and spent his life in a great chunk of his life in a third world country, is I hope he hasn't become so Americanized that he forgets. And this is where, you know, U.S. foreign policy has to be changed in the most radical way.
Well, it does, but I have the confidence that this man is, to the core of his being, a really good person.
He is.
And is fully capable and understands the problems that can and should be dealt with.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, even the best of people that I've come across in my lifetime, people that I've loved and the best of people, do believe in the American empire. And just like I've had ancestry that believed in the British empire.
Mm-hmm.
Belonging to an empire, and especially when you're part of that can be a very addictive thing. And, you know, hopefully we can move to a global politics beyond the age of empires.
Well, that would be different, wouldn't it? And there's no need for us to have an empire. No need for anybody to have an empire. Just be a good and decent country with caring and sharing people. And I agree about the globalist thing. You know, that people that talk down about one world and all that. You don't necessarily have to have a one world order in order to be world citizens, you know, the old hands across the world, around the world, and all that. We have to be cognizant of people in other country and their problems, and we do have to get involved sometimes, even though we don't want to.
Yeah.
But I think Barack Obama is the scope of his agenda of what he wants for us and all people. I think it's. Well, I think he's right on target. I really do. I'm so excited about this. I really am. I'm giddy as a little kid. I really am.
Yeah, because, you know, and the fact of the matter is, and had McCain won this country would have been finished.
I can't even imagine it.
You know, well, and we shouldn't even be talking like that as if he is not official yet. But you know, I'm looking at the polls, and I'm even starting to slip. My slip is starting to show, and I'm even starting to say he won.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't think I'd dare show up tomorrow.
It's just that what I was saying. The foreign policy of the 19th and 20th century of, you know, gumboat diplomacy cannot work anymore. It doesn't work anymore. Okay, because the reality is, you know, the third world, and this is why, and the biggest mistake often is that the West, and when I mean the West, Europe and North America, often underestimate us. And the thing is, we always had things that the West always wanted, couldn't live without, and didn't want to pay for. And we've used that to our advantage. And if you look at every war that has occurred since World War II, on a global scale, it's been a war of colonization or ethnic tension. You know, the weapon, think of the weakest country in the world. If the United States sent a force down there, it will be dealt with.
Yeah.
And there will be chaos. And the reason being is because we're capable of getting the guns just as much as you guys are now.
Yeah. Yeah, right, you are.
Yeah, cause, you know.
Well, did you, let me ask you a question. Do you have to travel far where you live to vote?
No, well, you see, I voted absentee in Florida.
Okay, all right.
You know, I voted about a month ago.
So your vote then somewhere in the bottom of a wastebasket.
Well,
we hope not.
Well, you know, like I said, I did what I could.
Yeah.
And hopefully, you know, I could have registered here in New York, and I could have voted across the street, but I don't think my vote would have counted because New York is a safe Obama state.
I hope things have changed here. I really do. I'm not hearing any horrible stories in Florida yet today. So
well, you know, I think Charlie Crist for a Republican is a man of conscience, and, you know, to a certain degree, he is a man of conscience.
I hope so.
And, you know, we'll see. It's like he doesn't suffer from the Bush depravity.
No, and I was happy that he extended the voting hours the way he did. That was a good thing. That was something.
And, well, also, you got to look at it. He's a Republican, and it's all about protecting your power. And that's what he did, because it would have come back to bite him.
Probably so. Hey, Kevin, thanks so much for calling in. Happy Election Day.
Same here.
We're going to be here all evening tonight, Bob and Mark and I, and we're going to be calling it like it is, and we hope we'll have a few of you along with us tonight.
Okay, and I'll probably call in later.
All right, thanks.
Okay, bye.
How many of you saw any of that rally for Barack Obama at Manassas last night? 80,000 people at Manassas. Have you ever been to Manassas? I have. A few times. And it was hard for me to imagine, until I saw the video, 80,000 people at Manassas, Virginia, for Barack Obama. That really did something to me. It really did. Not only was it a wonderful talk he gave, he can jack up a crowd with his charisma and his speaking. I thought what a marvelous thing it was. Just what a marvelous thing it was. Wow. Just absolutely wow. And the Republicans have been playing defense. Have you noticed? Have you noted? It reminds me of a high school basketball game, and one side of the gymnasium is silent, and the other one just cheering like hell. And they've been playing defense. They've been playing defense. They've been trying to hold on to territory. I think Kevin is right. A lot of people are right. They're trying not to lose too much. They're trying to keep Obama's coattails from being too long. We may put in another 28 to 30 in the House. That would give us, what, 263 or so right in that neighborhood. I think they're playing defense and just try that they're got fingers in the dike all over the place. The dike is leaking. It's about to burst. And come 6 o'clock tonight, it is going to burst. When the first returns start coming in, I think it's going to be some terrible news for the Palin-McCain ticket. I really do. What are you going to do tonight? Are you going to stick close to the TV? Are you going to join us here at the Head On Radio Network? Are you going to do both? We hope you'll do both. We're going to have some fun here tonight. Bob and Mark are going to be along. And in fact, Bob's show and Mark and I are going to be along with him. They're going to have the extravaganza, the Horn political extravaganza tonight, and we hope you'll be there with us. I'm hearing that... I just got a report that voting in Columbus, Ohio is very brisk. The turnout is big, heavy turnout, and brisk, and very orderly from what we're seeing. They've had a little bit of problems with provisional ballots and such, but things seem to be going very, very well. We're going to pause for a break right now. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after just a few words.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
What do our opponents mean when they apply to us the label liberal? If by liberal they mean, as they want people to believe, someone who is soft in his policies abroad, who is against local government, and who is unconcerned with a taxpayer's dollar, then the record of this party and its members demonstrate that we are not that kind of liberal. But if by a liberal they mean someone who looks ahead and not behind, someone who welcomes new ideas without rigid reactions, someone who cares about the welfare of the people, their health, their housing, their schools, their jobs, their civil rights and their civil liberties, someone who believes that we can break through the stalemate and suspicions that grip us in our policies abroad, if that is what they mean by a liberal, then I'm proud to say that I'm a liberal.
Say, have you voted yet today? If you haven't, why, take a listen to this.
If you change your mind, take a chance on the first in line, take a chance on me, I'm still free, take a chance on me, if you need me, let me know, gonna be around, if you got no place to go, gonna treat you down, if you're all alone.
yeah, but you won't be taking a chance if you vote for Barack Obama today. Have you voted yet? If you haven't, get your butt out there and do it. I don't want to hear of a single one of you who didn't get out and vote today, okay? No excuses. I don't care where you are. Call somebody if you can't get to the polls. Get there and put your vote in and help elect Barack Obama as the next president of the United States and Joe Biden as the vice president. Doesn't that sound good? Oh, I am just absolutely elated today. I really am. And I know I've gotten a half a dozen emails already say, hey, cool it guy, you're going to jinx it. You're too optimistic. Things can happen. No, it's not going to happen this time. If it does, well, I'm not even going to go there. I am going to go to the phones, though, right now. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey there, Guy, Ben Burt.
Ben, how are you?
Busier than a one-armed paper hanger.
Good to hear from you, my friend.
Oh, wow. I'm not only keeping this stream on the air, but like a couple of others, and I'm busy engineering two election specials and working on moderating several web boards, and, oh, wow, I'll be glad when this is done.
Yeah. Well, you take a little rest. A little rest.
The things people are telling me today is that around the country, it seems that the Republicans are not turning out.
No. Well.
That Republican turnout is unexpectedly down.
Really?
They seem to have been demoralized.
Oh, wait a minute. I don't want to laugh. I feel very bad about that, actually. Do I sound convincing?
Crocodile tears.
Yes.
Let
me ask you, Ben, are you going to go to the celebration tonight?
No, I have to stay here and man the boards.
Okay. You may be able to hear it from your place. It sounds like you're going
to
be a lot of people there.
It's only 35 miles.
35 miles?
Yep.
Yeah, well, there's going to be a lot of people, evidently.
Oh, yeah, the Metro, that's the commuter rail, they put on extra trains.
Oh, did they? Oh, good. I heard they passed out 70,000 tickets, and they're expecting many times that, possibly, to show up altogether.
Oh, yeah. It's just amazing. They've built a whole little city down there in Grant Park. You know, with buildings and tents and so forth. Apparently they've shut down every office along Michigan Avenue now, and they're clearing all the buildings, Secret Service are.
Oh, wow. This is great. This is great. I've tried not to sound too giddy today, but I just feel really good about it, and I know tomorrow we're going to be even feeling better, I suppose, maybe later on tonight.
I'm thinking we're going to get about 406 electoral votes.
406. You're even more optimistic than me. I had 353 maybe at the outside, but then again, I think you're figuring, like possibly I am and some others, that some of those fringe states might start to fall as well, your North Dakotas and Montanas and all.
I think there is, I've got $20 on it. I think there's a decent chance we're going to get Arizona.
Oh, I would, that would be so sweet. That would be so sweet.
Arizona, according to some internal polling I have heard, is within margin of error right now.
All right, then you're figuring on Indiana,
mm-hmm.
and North Carolina,
and Missouri,
okay.
And Arizona, and Georgia.
And Georgia.
I think we're going to get Georgia.
Oh, Ben.
And I think we're going to get North Carolina. I think we're going to get Montana. I think we're going to get North Dakota.
This would be so sweet. I mean, this would be especially cracking the South some. And please, let's get Saxby Chambliss knocked off. Oh. Man,
that would be really nice.
Wouldn't it?
Be really nice because he's a piece of work.
Yeah, him and McConnell both, if they could both go, and of course Lizzie Dole looks like she's going to go, and we're going to pick up in senators in Colorado and New Mexico. It's going to be great. How many did you say?
406.
406. I'm going to write this down, Ben. 406. Okay. Well, I don't have $20 on it. I bet a guy $10 on the election. I don't know how long ago that Barack Obama would win, and I don't think I'm even going to go collect from him. He's one of those guys that I'd have more fun not collecting, just kind of looking at him once in a while. Well, it's a good looking map. It'd be an even better looking map if it comes out the way you think. I would. Oh, my God! I would love that. Arizona would be the plum, wouldn't it?
Well, it is just that close. The other wild card, and no one's talking about it because it hasn't really been polled. But apparently, everyone in Alaska is not happy with her.
Well,
there's just a chance that if it gets to the point where the election is called and the Alaska polls are still open, that they might just not show up.
That wouldn't be that bad either. Anything that can repudiate that woman would be a sweet deal for me. You feel the same way about her as I do? I'm just
a waste of protein.
Oh man. That
she breathes my air offends me.
Yeah. I mean, give me Dan Quayle any day.
The thing is, understand something. It's I know people who know Dan Quayle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He's not as stupid as he appears. He just can't talk.
Yeah, and he's not a bad guy either.
No, he's a bit of a right-winger. He's a bit of a, he's an evangelical. Okay, but as those things, as far as those things go, he's sort of like middle-of-the-road right-winger and middle-of-the-road evangelical. He's not the kind of creature that we got coming out of Alaska.
He's doesn't have any witch doctors. Make a way, Lord, make a way for Sarah.
No. I mean, without a doubt, if we had a President Quayle, we'd have a Roe v. Wade overturned because that's the big thing. All right, but beyond that, he's not as stupid as people make him out to be. He just can't think on his feet.
And sometimes we are unfair. Sometimes, he got rattled big time about misspelling potato. Well, half the people I know would misspell potato.
Sure.
I know brilliant people who don't spell very well. So, yeah, we take advantage. We all take advantage. Both sides take advantage of little quirks like that and all. But this Sarah, to me, she's bad to the bone. I can't take her. Can't take her at all. Not gonna.
Be prepared for something, though. It looks like she may get to appoint a senator.
Yeah. Do you think she'd have the
appoint a senator? I am thinking she may appoint herself.
Do you think she could do it? I mean, we had Murkowski appoint his daughter up
well,
there.
There's nothing that says she can't appoint herself senator. And if she's looking to have a national role. And I think she imagines she will. That would be the next thing for her to do.
Well, Ben, I can't think any. I know she's thinking that. But do you think she could get any farther than the right wing fringe? I just don't. No, but
we need to encourage her to do this.
Oh, absolutely.
Because she is the she's the wedge. She's the thing that divides the right wing evangelical crazies from the just plain old middle of the road Republicans and the libertarian Republicans.
Oh yeah, yeah. That'd be my advice.
Her.
Go for it, baby.
I mean, heck, if I found she was running for president in a serious way, I might have to donate $20. Because I can't imagine anything better for us that in 4 years than to have her be the Republican front runner.
Yeah, I'd love it too. I'd love it too. I would. Now, somebody's saying on the chat room here that Alaska law prohibits her from appointing herself. I don't know. I can't vouch for that one way or another. But
I looked. I didn't see that. But if that's the case, she could step down and then let the lieutenant governor do it.
There you go. You're one step ahead of us. Johnny O writes on the chat room, Sarah Palin is Deke Cheney with lipstick.
No. Cheney is actually smarter and more capable than she is.
Oh, yeah. No question.
By tons.
Yeah, I've never accused Dick Cheney of being stupid. That's for sure.
No, that's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the problem with Cheney, is that you know all the wheels are turning.
He was the smartest guy in the administration. He was the guy that pulled the strings and got him to do what he wanted him to do, and it worked out well for him.
Oh, yeah, and his friends, too.
Yeah, and does he give a damn?
If you had a time machine, it could become one of Dick Cheney's friends 12 years ago.
Yeah, and does anybody, you know, we talk about Darth Vader and Dick Cheney in a bad way, and I think he's pure evil, but does anybody really seriously think he gives a damn what we think? I mean, he doesn't, period.
No, of course not.
No.
We're the little people. In fact, we're hardly people.
Right.
You know, Cheney and his friends, they don't ever have to worry about the stock market crashing. They don't have to worry about the government changing.
No.
They don't have to worry about a darn thing because they have just acquired to themselves so much of our treasury that there's just no way we can touch them.
By the way, everybody, we're talking to Ben Birch from WhiteRoseSociety.org. Ben, without Ben, the horn wouldn't be on right now. It wouldn't be on all evening. And Ben... Ben has done yeoman's duty for several years now, streaming programs and getting the word out, helping get the word out. Ben's been an important cog on the left of getting what word out that we are able to get out. Ben's been responsible for most of it. So just want everybody to know that on other venues here that we're talking to Ben Birch, the Ben Birch.
Well, thank you. I just make things happen. Other people actually put the words on them.
Well, you would have a good laugh with me, Ben. I know your technical abilities, and I'll let everybody in on it. I got a different production machine here in the studio, and decided to transfer all the data from the old machine to the new one, and the old one is. Windows XP, and the new one, of course, is the Vista. And so I get one of these transfer cables to transfer the data over, and I'm to the point now where I want to beat my head against the wall. It's not working out.
Don't blame yourself. It's Vista. Vista's a piece of junk.
It is not working out so well.
No. Yeah. Yeah, no. Find out if the machine you've got there will actually run XP. You might want to get a copy of XP.
That's that might be the thing, but the problem, and now everybody else talk amongst yourselves. The problem is, I transfer the data over, and the new machine has four times the hard disk capacity and all of the old one, and it keeps telling me that it's full. And then stops, you know, and then you're screwed and got to start over again. So
that's very weird.
Yeah, it is. It keeps telling me it can't be. It can't be. So
the other alternative is to find a high school student.
There you go, Ben.
You know, they seem to all know this just viscerally. You know, they've absorbed it. It's right there in their pores.
Walk in and take one look at it and say, "Well, it's this here, stupid." And I think you're right, Ben. I think you're right. Maybe even not even has to be a high school student. Maybe just a real smart sixth grader. I'm not sure. So, how are you going to spend the rest of the evening, Ben?
Well, I'm sitting here micromanaging all of the streaming for Nova M, and watching the horn stream, and I'm recording lots of stuff. Like I'm going to be doing a recording from the beginning of your show to whenever we go off the air tonight, that I will put up after we're off the air. Just a recording of the entire period of time.
I do want to warn you, Ben. Of course, we're not under any FCC rules here. I have promised everybody that I've got a bottle of Ouzo here, and every time a state is called for Obama tonight, I'm having a shot.
A bottle of Glenlivet here, and I intend to see it empty by morning.
All right, and so we should be a fine mess later on, and maybe even somewhat entertaining If a lot of states, if all the states you think are going to get called for Obama, I'm in trouble.
I think we're all in trouble if that's the case. But the biggest trouble is going to be at the RNC headquarters tomorrow morning.
Wouldn't want to be there. Well, yes, I would want to be
there.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where to go.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing that myself. I might like to see that.
I'm just wondering whether it won't come to fisticuffs there.
Well, there's going to be some serious infighting going on. There's no question. There's going to be a civil war take place inside the party, and it's going to be interesting to see who wins. Will the old time Republicans kick these neocons out? Will they be able to?
Well, you know, the Whigs are no longer with us.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling that there is a good chance that someday soon, what we used to call the GOP will no longer be with us.
Well,
that there will be some successor party or parties. Maybe the Libertarians will get their day.
Well, we'll see how many old Bob.
Now.
See how many votes Bull Bob gets tonight.
Yep.
Not too many, I don't think.
No, well, because he's kind of he's not even a real Libertarian.
No.
Libertarians know that.
I hear the puppies in the background.
Yep. That's Bogey. I wonder sometimes, you know, what political party's dogs would be. You know, I mean, they seem to care, like dachshunds seem to care a lot about their own liberties, but don't give a darn about yours.
Very much so. There are two dachshunds who like to walk past my house and irritate my Yorkies.
Uh-huh.
That taunt them. Just
uh-huh.
taunt them. My Yorkies will be they'll be behaving very well, and these two will walk by my lanai and say, "Hey, any Yorkies in there want to fight?" Or you know, they're saying something like that, and then my dogs will start barking, and they start barking, and it's like, "Oh my God!"
Well, my little guy, the real small dachshund we have, his name's Monty for Montgomery Cliff. He thinks he can take on the pit bull at the end of the street.
Oh, geez, somebody's put the picture of the puppies up on the internet, on the chat room. he thinks Monty after Montgomery Cliff.
Yes.
Now, there's
Bogey's after Humphrey Bogart and Monty's after Montgomery.
Now, there's some deep thought that went into that.
Judgment at Nuremberg.
Montgomery Clift was one of my mother's favorite actors.
Oh, he was great.
Yeah, he was. He was indeed.
But Monty thinks he can take on anything up to, you know, St. Bernard's time.
That's funny.
He weighs 7 pounds.
Had to hit the. Oh yeah, Powerpuff says I need to call the dog whisperer. Yeah.
Anyways, my friend, I'm going to go and take care of things here, and go Obama.
Go Obama, indeed, man. Thanks for everything you do, and maybe we'll hear from you later on tonight.
I sure hope so. Later.
Thanks, Ben.
Bye.
Oh, it's 8 minutes in front of the hour right now. Thanks for putting that up. Who put that up? ELO Agnes? No, ELO put this up. We have the Head on Radio Network chat room here, and ELO put up a picture of our puppies. Now, on the left, that's Sophie, you see. She's the ornery one, and I think you can tell. And the one is the lady. That's Kukla on the right. Kukla means doll in Greek. And somebody said, "Oh, gee, how did you ever get those dogs to pose like that?" Well, like 45 minutes it took to get them to pose like that. An hour, okay, it's an hour. But anyway, now they're famous. They're on the internet there. So 866-546-5252. I've kind of been rambling here the last few minutes, but it's good to talk to Ben. Ben's the guy that keeps all this going, you know. Without Ben, we'd be up the proverbial creek without a paddle. There isn't any question about that. And kudos to Ben for all that he does. He manages to, he's oftentimes an unsung hero. of all of us here on the horn. And we appreciate it, Ben. We really do. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Country music's got mamas and daddies. They got barrooms and no heartbreak songs. But I'm here today to stand up and say how I feel about my home, sweet home. What's left, what's right, and what's wrong. And I'm taking my country back. Son, you ain't been doing her right. Oh, I've been watching you and I don't like how you've been treating my stars and stripes. You took our jobs and sent them overseas. Now we owe millions to the red Chinese. You blew the budget and you bounced our rack. So I'm taking my country back. We had a bundle in the treasury drawer, more than there had ever been before. But every day we're down and deeper in debt. Maybe 4 years should be all you get. Then you gave tax breaks to the millionaires, and you tried to make the working man pay. But you can't tax a man when his job's not there. Now look at where we are today. Hey, I'm taking my country back. Son, you ain't been doing her right. Oh, I've been watching you and I don't like how you've been treating my stars and stripes. You got too many fancy friends for me. The Saudis treat you like you're understand why you were hot. Cause Bin Laden never did get caught. So you said we had Saddam to blame. Tried to tell us it was all the same. But now the years roll by and our kids keep dying. You don't even have a plan to bring them home. Those WMD you promised on TV.
I'm taking my country back along with all of you. We are taking our country back today. Today is the day we're taking it back from those who have treated Lady Liberty and this great nation in a terrible manner. For 8 years now, this country has been under the control of a regime that has been up to no good, that has been doing nothing but things for their self-interest, and nothing for the people of this country. It has been a disaster, and it's time we take it back, and today we are going to take this country back. I'm not voting for Barack Obama because he's some sort of a rock star. I'm not voting for him because of any radio or TV ads that I've seen. I'm voting for Barack Obama because of what he wants for America. I'm voting for Barack Obama because he wants us all to have decent health care. He wants a timeline to get out of this war. He wants this war over with. I'm voting for Barack Obama because he's tough. I'm voting for Barack Obama because he's smart. And I'm voting for him because he's compassionate. And he has the needs of the American people in mind. I believe that he's going to offer real tax relief to the middle class and the lower class, rather than giving more to the millionaires who don't need it. We've worked for a couple of years on this program, promoting the Democratic Party and the liberal idea, the progressive ideas, and it's coming to fruition today. We are taking our country back today, and I'm telling you, I couldn't be more proud. I'm not overly optimistic. I feel that this is what's going to happen, and it's going to happen tonight. And we're going to start hearing about it about an hour from now, when the polls first close in Indiana. I'm more proud of Barack Obama and the campaign that he's run than I can tell you. I'm more ashamed of the McCain-Palin campaign than I can tell you. The right people are winning this election. The right people for America are winning this election. The right people for the rest of the people in the world are winning this election. Thank you to everybody who voted for Barack Obama today. Thank you to everybody that's helped make this come true. I'll be back later on tonight along with Bob and Mark on our Head On Radio Network extravaganza. I can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we'll all have a good time.